Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 1, observing the armies, text number 31. Na cha shreyo nupashami hatva swajanam ahave nukhangshe vijayam krishna achara jam sukhani cha. Na, nor, cha, also, shreya, good, anupashami, do I foresee, hatva, by killing, swajanam, own kinsmen, ahave, in the fight, na, nor, kangshe, do I desire, vijayam, victory, Krishna, O Krishna, na, nor, cha, also, rajam, kingdom, sukhani, happiness thereof, cha, also. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I do not see how any good can come from killing my own kinsmen in this battle, nor can I, my dear Krishna, desire any subsequent victory, kingdom, or happiness. Purport. Without knowing one's self-interest is in Vishnu or Krishna, conditioned souls are attracted by bodily relationships, hoping to be happy in such situations. In such a blind conception of life, they forget even the cause of material happiness. Arjuna appears to have even forgotten the moral codes for a kshatriya. It is said that two kinds of men, namely the kshatriya, who dies directly in front of the battlefield under Krishna's personal orders, and the person, the renouncer of life, who is absolutely devoted to spiritual culture, are eligible to enter into the sun globe, which is so powerful and dazzling. Arjuna is reluctant even to kill his enemies, let alone his relatives. He thinks by killing his kinsmen, there would be no happiness in his life. And therefore he is not willing to fight, just as a person who does not feel hunger is not inclined to cook. He has now decided to go into the forest and live a secluded life in frustration. But as a kshatriya, he requires a kingdom for his subsistence, because the kshatriyas cannot engage themselves in any other occupation. But Arjuna has no kingdom. Arjuna's sole opportunity for gaining a kingdom lies in fighting with his cousins and brothers and reclaiming the kingdom inherited from his father, which he does not like to do. Therefore, he considers himself fit to go to the forest, Tivoli Park, to live a secluded life of frustration. So if you meet Arjuna in Tivoli Park, you know that he decided to flee the battlefield and he's waiting it out in Tivoli Park. The chasheyo nupashami hatva swajanam ahave the kangshe vijayam Krishna the charajam sukhani cha. I do not see how any good can come from killing my own kinsmen in this battle. Nor can I, my dear Krishna, desire any subsequent victory, kingdom, or happiness. As we see here that in the material world, theoretically and practically, everything is based on relationships. Generally, relationships are exchanged between two living entities. But sometimes, because of lack of happiness, people are encountering their personal relationships with other people, they try to have relationships with lower species of life. Especially in the Western world, very prominent is the relationship with a cat or a dog. But in big cities like New York, now they have relationships with snakes. They have snakes in their house as pets. Very hard to understand exactly what your relation with the snake is. But how do you know when the snake loves you? Or sometimes they even keep animals like tigers in their house. Well, you know when the tiger doesn't like you. And sometimes people have no relationship with any other living entity, and they have relationships with things like their car or their sports team, whatever, something. But relationship is always part of our existence. Very few people can just sit there and have a relationship with themselves. Of course, some crazy people have relationships with multiple people in themselves. Nowadays, you can walk down the street and you think, sometimes you think people are talking to themselves, but actually, if you look closely, they have a little something in their ear that they're talking to someone else. But you're not quite sure if they're talking to themselves or not. And if you go to a city like New York, many people without a phone are talking. But a spiritual life is also relationships, just like we have sadhana bhakti, and sometimes we think sadhana bhakti is just mechanically following some program of sadhana. Or that faith has something to do with believing something. That actually faith goes through believing, belonging, and then becoming. So if we understand things properly in Krishna consciousness, then we have to develop relationships, spiritual relationships. Otherwise, there's no meaning to hearing. Because the hearing is all about relationships. If we go back, when we go back to the spiritual sky, the spiritual world in Goloka Vrindavan, they're not studying about Krishna, trying to find out by Kunta which conch shell is held in which hand. No, everything is personal relationships, loving relationships. There's nothing but loving exchanges. There's nothing but spiritual beings in the spiritual world. Even your house, your Chintamani palace is alive. You have a relationship with the house as a living soul. So how can it be different here? If we want spiritual relationships, everything depends upon developing spiritual relationships. We want spiritual life, everything means developing spiritual relationships. And spiritual relationships mean to develop an attitude of service. If we have an attitude that, yes, I have a relationship with so many living entities who are serving me. As long as they serve me, I have a nice relationship with them. Otherwise, they're useless. No, actually, spiritual life means to learn how to properly reciprocate loving exchanges with all different devotees and ultimately have a loving feeling towards all living entities. As spiritual beings, part and parcel of Krishna, they have the same quality as Krishna does. And therefore, everyone is lovable. Although the three modes of material nature don't appear to be so loving, but actually they're also working under Krishna's direction. So for a pure devotee, he sees everything as an activity of Krishna, as a pastime of Krishna. Therefore, everything is beautiful. Everything that's happening is beautiful because he understands it in relation to Krishna. But here Arjuna is forgetting. He thinks that there's something called relationships, material relationships, and there's something called good and bad, and he's trying to figure out what good is. But without Krishna, everything is bad. And within Krishna consciousness, everything is good. Because at the end, Arjuna realizes that whatever Krishna is going to arrange for the battlefield, it's good. Those who will be killed, they'll be elevated. to higher planets, if not the spiritual world. And ultimately, Krishna wants to reinstall Yudhisthira Maharaj so that the people could become most easily influenced to take up spiritual life, to worship Krishna. Therefore, Arjuna finally realizes that if he fights, whatever happens will be good. If he loses, he'll go be with Krishna in the spiritual world. And if he wins, then he'll also be able to establish spiritual culture within this world. So as long as Krishna is involved, it's good. As soon as Krishna is uninvolved, it's not good. But it takes Krishna 2 hours to speak to Arjuna, to explain to him how everything is under his control and it's all for good. What he's asking Arjuna to do, to fight, is not bad. But Arjuna initially can't understand that because he's bewildered by the illusory energy. Similarly, 99.9% of the people in this world are all deluded by the material energy. Therefore, they don't know what to do. They don't know who to vote for, who to get married to, who to get divorced from, what to do with their kids. They don't know anything. They don't know what kind of relationship to have with anyone. Even their dog sometimes bites them. So everyone is confused. They want loving relationships. And sometimes it appears for a very short period of time there's some sweetness in the relationship. But it's just like chewing gum. There's some sweetness in the gum at first, but after a while when the sweetness is chewed, is swallowed, the sugar part is swallowed, then all you wind up is chewing on gum, working your jaws. Till finally you decide whether to spit it out or not. So as long as you want to chew on the material energy, whatever sweetness there may be within it, eventually will chew out, and then we'll spit it out looking for another piece of gum to chew on till we get tired and spit it out. Punak punas charvita charvanana. So Arjuna wants to chew on his relationships with his relatives, although there's always some thorns in the relationship. His cousins weren't the sweetest people in the world, although he doesn't want to fight with them. After all, if you're in love with someone who's trying to poison you, you have to be a little crazy. And when they can't poison you, they set your house on fire. But you love them anyhow, because they're your cousins. And when they don't succeed in setting you on fire with the house, then they cheat you in gambling match, take away everything and try and strip your wife naked. But you still love them. You forgive them. So that's called madness. Turn the other cheek. No, we should forgive people, but we shouldn't be foolish. So Arjuna is being foolish here because he's overwhelmed by material energy. And material nature makes everyone foolish. Because inherent in the material nature is a mode of ignorance, which makes everyone somewhat foolish. Foolish enough to work in passion, to get some insignificant result, until one gets frustrated and tries to understand what goodness is. And after getting bored in goodness, after getting bored and getting liberated, then one comes back to see if there's anything left in the material world to chew on. So endlessly the cycle is, till finally, after going up and down throughout the material universe, what is that? That's a different one. Going up and down throughout the material, it's in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, of course it's Brahmande, Brahmate, Kon, Bhagavan, Ji, but that's a different one. That after passing, going up and down, Talyate, uh, Yes, it begins with yes, yasti bhakti, yes. Anyhow, after wandering up and down, what is wandering? What's the word for it? After wandering up and down throughout the whole universe, then one understands that whatever he's achieved in the material world is just temporary brahmite. That's right, that's wandering, is brahmite. And that he understands the reactions of his past activities. And that whatever good he's getting in the course of whatever bad he's getting in the course of time will also get some good. But there's no absolute good, there's no absolute bad in the material world. One is just as Purusha Prakriti Stohi, Bhungte Prakriti Jangunan, Karna Guna Sangosya, Sad Asad Yonu Janmisu. Thus the material world, thus the living entity following the ways of life, enjoys the three modes of material nature. This is due to his association with those modes, thus he meets with both good and evil amongst the various species. So that's the material world. Sometimes we'll meet with friends and have a good time, and sometimes things will reverse themselves. And that's the material world, up and down. Whether one goes up or down throughout all the planetary systems, one will simply get the results of his past activities, sometimes facing very good circumstances and very bad circumstances, but perpetually. Sometimes being born as Brahma, sometimes being born in the earth planet, sometimes born as a bug. In any case, there's no ultimately happiness in the material world, although everyone is searching for it, until one realizes that actually happiness is to become conscious of Krishna, to dedicate one's activities in the service of Krishna. That's the only way of becoming conscious of Krishna, and only in that consciousness can one actually find real peace and happiness. So we're fortunate, at least we know the process of focusing the mind and eventually giving our love to Krishna, but we have to take it serious enough to get that taste for it so that we actually can give up other interests which we think may also make us happy in the material world. As it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's no greater impediment in devotional service and Krishna consciousness than to believe that something else in the material world can make us happier than Krishna consciousness. So that distracts us from focusing our mind on Krishna. But if we do that, then Krishna will reciprocate. As we focus our mind upon Krishna, then Krishna focuses his mind on us and gives us the intelligence by which we can feel his presence and remember him and feel his presence and therefore actually experience the love and the happiness that he's experiencing. We have a little love and happiness, and he has unlimited love and happiness. So it's a good deal. We give Krishna a little bit of our love, a little bit of our happiness, a little bit of our appreciation, and he gives us unlimited happiness, unlimited love and appreciation. So it's a good business, Krishna consciousness. There's no better business. We can love some in the material world without Krishna consciousness, and it may be satisfying for some time, but after a while, either it gets stale or we lose our loving object, whatever it may be. But for Krishna, we can become Krishna's parent forever, his friend forever, his lover forever, his servant forever. And it doesn't break, it only gets nicer and nicer eternally. So that's a good relationship. And if you like dogs and things like that, Krishna has a pet dog, so if you love Krishna, you'll also have a nice relationship with his pet dog in the spiritual world. He has a pet parrot. Rarani has a pet parrot too. So if you like animals, you can have spiritual animals in the spiritual world and have a nice relation with them too. But ultimately it's Krishna that we're interested in, and Krishna's servants who are serving him. And if we have a relation with him, then all our desires will be fulfilled. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna. So at the beginning of the lecture you mentioned these relationships that in spiritual world there are relations, personal relationships also with house, who is like conscious.
Yes.
And then you mentioned so I was thinking that we exchange relationship with service.
Yes.
So this is maybe my speculation, but you will get on it. So we serve the house, we clean the house, we prepare the house, maybe in the spiritual world, no. But so that this is one kind of relationship.
Well, I'm sure they clean the houses.
Yeah.
But they just chant Hare Krishna also. The house is also conscious of the pastimes of Krishna, the spiritual world. So the house is always in ecstasy. They feel the experience of the loving exchanges between the devotees. So the house is also in ecstasy. The spiritual ground is in ecstasy. Everyone's in ecstasy, remembering the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna and their devotees.
Okay. Because I somehow try to understand this relationship.
No, the house is alive and it's glowing and it's full of bliss and love.
Yeah.
And everyone loves the house because they also feel the bliss and love the house is experiencing.
Yeah. No, I can't understand that.
Of course not. How can we understand? I mean, but we can appreciate, I mean, why shouldn't the house be alive? Why does it have to be dead? We think, oh, there's just too many people in the spiritual world. It's unfair. How can I be prominent? No, we're just, everyone's in love. Everyone appreciates, everything there is appreciative. Matter of fact, here our spiritual advancement simply depends upon our appreciation of other devotees, their service. The more we appreciate the service of other devotees, the more we spiritually advance. So there everyone is, even Srimati Radharani appreciates the service that all the souls are performing, the calf, the flute, everything. She thinks she's simply a servant of everyone, including Krishna. She appreciates everyone's service to Krishna. Anything else? Hala Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.